Everybody
say amen.
God
has spoken.
So let the church,
say
plans are.
Let the church
to what his word
say,
says.
God has spoken. The church say, oh,
lift your hands wherever you are and let the church.
Church say amen. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome to Runner for Christ Ministry Saturday morning worship service. We are a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We are going to for our proclamation scripture and prayer, And at Run for Christ Ministries, we believe is vital. And the word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us with our proclamation scripture and prayer is our very own Deaconess Loretta Welch. Good morning, and thank you for being with us this morning.
Good morning, Kathy. It's always a pleasure to be a part of Saturday service. Thank you. Why we are here, proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scripture, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the scripture, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as final judge to rule. My scripture for today is coming from Acts 2, 38, verses 38 through 47, and it reads as follows. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and the signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this worship service now or later. Father, we thank you today for this opportunity to offer you so much deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and preached word lift Jesus so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with the word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deaconess Loretta, for praying and for that proclamation scripture and prayer. And we just appreciate you and have a beautiful day.
Thank you. You too.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue with our song selection service with our very own Shepherd Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Just say yes, you lead the way. I'm not afraid of what it means for me to say that this life you gave is not my own. I'm trusting you to hear my yes and lead me on. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. amen, that's when the miracle happens. That's when the change comes. That's when we become more Christ-like and less us-like. Amen. When we say yes to the Lord and start saying no to us. I remember one of the deacons at my home church, First Baptist Church E-Course, his name was Deacon John Sally. And when he would do altar call, he would come down to the end and say, Lord, when we get through down here, giving up the right for the wrong, we pray that you'll have a place for us in your home. Amen. And so giving up the right for the wrong needs to be reversed. Amen. And start saying yes to God. And you know the wrong. Amen. I'll just say yes.
Hallelujah. Today we want to sing a chorus. And it's a chorus of surrender to the Lord. We want to say yes to Jesus. We want to give our all to him. We want to totally surrender to him so that he can take control of our lives and so that his will can be done in our lives. That's his will for each and every one of us. So we want to sing that song to him today. We want you to lift your hands as we worship the Lord with this song. And we're going to sing yes to our God.
Thank you. Jesus. We thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you, Jesus, for your presence in this room right now. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are great, and you are mighty, and you are real, and you are pure, and you are holy. We love you today, Jesus, and we're so thankful, God, that we could lift our praises up to you. We're so thankful, God, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth, because you are worthy, Heavenly Father. For we truly adore you today. We love you. We magnify you. You are everything, Jesus. Hallelujah. One more time.
Show me your power. Let me in more of you. It's what I
you're hungry for him, that you're longing for him, that you're thirsty.
Amen. Blood, the blood. Pastor Earl, we just thank you. You always take us there, and we just thank you for those blessings of songs of faith and testimony, and our hearts are truly moved and encouraged. We just thank you. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. So following this selection, the next one you will hear, our very own shepherd, Gerald Marshall Overall, Pastor O, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. So meet us at the altar and prepare to receive our shepherd, Pastor O, carried to the Lord. Amen.
Thinking maybe this is it. Got this war going on in my mind, trying to make me think my faith is counterfeit. And whoa, no, certain days it feels like my faith is running low. But it's a mustard seed, so I must believe in what I sow. Sowing tears, what you water will grow. Never fear, it's all under control. The storm is here, but I'm asleep on the boat. Whoa, yeah. Everything I went through, I knew I would be blessed. Yeah. Try to pull me down, but I see the mark, so I press. Christ cut me out so many times, why stress? Yeah. I'ma sing hallelujah anyhow through the test.
Hallelujah anyhow. Hallelujah anyhow. Hallelujah. Anyhow, hallelujah. Anyhow,
Lord God, our Father, we do indeed give thanks to you on this day that you have made. We thank you, Father. Once again, you've produced a day, and you've given us the instructions as what to do with this day. You said we should rejoice and be glad in it because you made this day. Father, we are filled with good news. You have given us the euangelion. You have given us the gospel, the power that is able to reconcile a just, righteous and holy God to an unjust, unholy, and unrighteous man. Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because it is because of him right now that I'm able to talk to you. He said when we pray, we should say our Father. Not God, but Father. That means we're family. That means we're your children. And you said when we have cares, cast them on me, because I am the one who made you. I am the only one who can care for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you made us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, whether we believe it or not, you care for us. Whether we receive it or not, you take care of us. Lord, you are so good that you've caused your sun to shine on the good and the bad. You've caused your rain to fall on the just and the unjust. That's how good you are. You're a loving, kind, and caring God, always keeping your word, never failing. Even when we find ourselves in the worst possible situations, we have to admit you're there. As we sit like Paul and Silas in a Philippian jail kind of situation where we're trapped, and it seems like Satan have gotten the victory over us. When we remember you, when we remember what you did for us on the cross, when we remember the power and authority that you gave us by the Holy Spirit you planted in us, we sing praises. Devils think we crazy because we're in a horrible situation that we feel like we shouldn't be in because we know Jesus. But we know Jesus, so we sing praises. Philippian jails get tore up. Nobody dies. Folks get saved. Lord God, our Father, you've been so good to us. You've been so kind to us. Even in the beginning when we did not desire you as our God and Father, your relentless love pursued us and overtook us in the garden. Yes, some animals, types of Christ, had to be slain, and we were covered with their coats of skin to cover the shame that we could not cover ourselves, and a relationship restored that we couldn't restore ourselves. We love you today, Jesus. You've been loving on us ever since it was just two of us in the garden. And you never failed to continue to love us, even when Cain would not listen to you and he slew Abel. Righteous Abel. You had mercy on him. When he thought that others would see him, his brothers and sisters, and hear about what he did to his brother, they would want to kill him. But look how good you are on a murderer who you warned not to murder, but to use the power that you gave him in Genesis chapter 1 to rule over. He chose to murder. You had mercy. Lord, how good are you? We thank you for your kindness. When we came to that time of the flood, when there was only 8 people left, would the Lord destroy the entire earth and not consider these 8? But you did. You taught a man who never saw a ship before in his life how to build one in his front yard. Provided him with the knowledge and the tools and the wherewithal that he needed to do that next type of Christ. It was the ark. Run into it and save your life. He preached for 120 years and nobody believed. But his wife, his 3 sons and their wives, 8 in all. And you moved them into the ark and you closed the door and nobody could open it. And they all died in the flood. You rested that ark on the other side of the flood. And began life anew, reestablishing your covenant with the earth, and put a bow in the sky that we might see and you might see and remember the words, the promise that you made us, that you'd never again destroy the earth with a flood. Oh, Father, you've been so good to us. You've been so kind to us. And we thank you for that. Father, I want to personally thank you for every single member of Runner for Christ Ministries. Oh, I remember, Lord Jesus, how scared I was back in 2002 when you asked me to organize Runner for Christ Ministries. And I complained to you. I cast my fears on you about not knowing how to do this. And you said you would send people to come alongside me, and they would do the things that you've called Runner for Christ Ministries to do along with me. And you've done that. Lord, I know you know each and every one of them because they belong to you. I'm asking you to bless them as they have blessed my wife and myself all these years. They've been with us since day one, and they have not left us. They have remained. I thank you, Jesus, because of them. And us together, we've been able to make disciples for 21 years. And we are here today because of you, because of your kindness, because of your goodness. That same goodness that you showed so long ago in so many different instances. It did not matter who you called. What mattered is that they followed you. And when they followed you, when they did what you said, Red Seas parted, strong nations were brought down, Jordan rivers parted, Jericho's walls fell. When they went without you, they couldn't win. Ai defeated them. But when they got back with you, Ai was destroyed and became theirs. Lord God, you have been good to us down through the years. And we want to thank you, Father, all of us together, one collective voice from Runner for Christ Ministries, because you know what you've done through all of us. You've created ministries through Runner for Christ Ministries. You've called those to do what we cannot do as a church, as a local organized congregation of baptized believers. You called people to do the things that we cannot do. We thank you for Bondage Breaker Ministries. We thank you for bringing back the family ministries. We thank you for First Fruit Living Ministries and all the other ministries that you have blessed us to be able to come alongside them so that they can do the things that a local organized congregation of baptized believers cannot do. Lord, I can only sit here in awe as to what you're going to do going forward. You have done, Jesus, everything you told me you would do and some. And you're not even through yet. We're still here. We haven't been raptured out. So I pray, Lord, that you continue to cover. You know, Jesus, I ask you every single day to protect each and every one member of Running for Christ Ministries and all my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ from the evil one. Not some human being running around here acting crazy, but the devil and them demons. Them ones you kicked out of heaven. Them ones who were the darkness upon the face of the deep. But we are that light that you said, let there be light. You have made us the light of the world in his dark world. And you're using us to take out of this life, this world, a people for yourself. But he ain't happy with that. And he definitely not happy with Running for Christ, because we make disciples. We make his enemies. We make those who tear down the strongholds he had built up, whether it be in a certain place or in somebody's mind. We use the word of God to capture every single argument, to bring down and face down every pretension that sets itself up against the word of God. Our weapons are definitely not carnal, but spiritual, Holy Ghost power. The kind of weapons that says, let there be light, and there was light. Lord, you told us if we believe and don't doubt in our hearts, then what we say will come to pass. And if we're saying what you said, it's already done. You've already decreed and declared. Father, we thank you for these 21 years. And I thank you for the people that you have called to Running for Christ Ministries and my brothers and sisters who belong to other churches that you've called alongside us as well to help feed the church. We thank you, Lord, for them and ask your blessing on them as well. Lord, we thank you for all the food, and we eat too much of that, and all the clothes, we got too many of those, and all the water that you give us to drink. We don't have to worry about those things. We make it our business every day to seek your kingdom and your righteousness, and you faithfully just add all those things to us. Lord, we thank you again for everything that you have done, everything that you are doing, and everything you're going to do. Jesus, I ask you every day to heal each member of Running for Christ Ministries who needs to be healed, whether it's in their body or mind. I ask, Lord, for each member of Running for Christ Ministries who is suffering any kind of loss or lack, that you be the Jehovah Jireh in their life. You are their provider. Help them to know that. We thank you, Father, for all you have done, all you are doing, and going to do. Bless the preacher today with the word for all of us to hear and obey, because that's where the power is, in obedience to your word. You sacrifices, those don't move you, but obedience, they do. The Pharisees, Jesus told them, they tithe, they mint, they come, and then they deal, but their hearts was far from you. We want to be those who are close to you. We want to do what James told us. You said, come near to me, and I'll come near to you. But first, Father, help us to know that we need to resist the devil. We need to wash our hands, and we need to purify our hearts to make sure that we only trust, lean, and rely on you. Every prayer, Father, that's being lifted up to you right now at this moment, hear it. And bless them in a way, Jesus, where they know it was you. And so when you get through with them, they be like that woman at the well. They go running and telling everybody, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Help us to be that passionate as we continue to spread the gospel, the good news. That euangelion that you gave us. You have made us ministers of reconciliation. Lord Jesus, when we return, when you come to get us and we stand before you to receive rewards for the work that we did in this body, We pray, Jesus, that we have a long line of people that we led to Christ. We have a long line of people that we taught about you, that we have a long line of people that we helped in or outside the body of Christ. Until then, Lord, help us to lead a quiet life. Help us to mind our own business and help us to work with the hands you gave us. And we thank you that we'll get the respect of those who are on the outside, and we won't be dependent on nobody but you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay. I think we had a problem with our announcer. I noticed her phone just kind of dropped out there. So what we're going to do is go ahead and introduce the preacher of the hour, Elder Joseph Stevens. He's going to be bringing us the word. And the next voice that you hear after this song will be the preacher of the hour, Elder Joseph Stevens. God bless you. God keep you.
Sister Sheila, Running for Christ Ministries and Blog Talk Radio. Father God, we just thank you for another opportunity. Father God, we bless and praise your holy name for this opportunity to preach your word. Father God, we continue to beseech you on behalf of each other. Father God, we continue to just bless and praise your holy name. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to preach and hear your word. Father God, we thank you for your many divine blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor O, Running for Christ Ministries. First of all, let me apologize for last month. I messed up. I missed it. And that being said, I called and begged Pastor O's forgiveness. But it had been a busy, crazy week, and that was not an excuse. No excuse. But I just thank God for being able to come back and preach a word. Pastor O, last month on March 29th, we celebrated what we call Good Friday. Many have said, what was good about it? Well, it was good that Jesus followed God's command. It was good that Jesus followed the plan of God to redeem us back to him. But it wasn't good for Jesus that particular day, Good Friday. Who remembers watching the Passion of Christ? Who remembers that there was so much controversy about Mel Gibson's film, The Passion of Christ? They did not want to show all of the blood horror, the glory, the blood, the beating of Jesus in the movie. And I found that interesting because Hollywood has always put out horrific movies. But The Passion of Christ was just that, a movie. And as brutal and as bad as they made the beating of Jesus Christ seem, in that movie, it certainly made me take another look at being a Christian. It made me think about what Jesus had truly done for me and you. Jesus was judged before he was even found guilty. Not for the wrong he had done, but from the jealousy and the fear of the religious leaders of that time. Jesus' mock trial, his beating, the crown of thorns, the nailing to the cross, the piercing of his side, and the suffering he endured was terrible. It was horrific. It was something that mankind had not been through before. Because not only, I know the Romans had hung many men on the cross, but Jesus took on the sins of the world. So he took on more than any man had ever endured. Oh, but Sunday morning, God resurrected Jesus for all of us. My subject today, God requires our faith and obedience. You know, all of the disciples were frightened. They were scared, hiding in a room. Jesus walked in that room and didn't even have to open the door. He greeted them, and then he went on to confirm what he had told them and strengthen their faith. And you know, we can't really fault the disciples too much. Ask yourself, what would we do? What would you or I have done in that same situation? The truth be told, we don't know. We don't know. Isaiah had predicted more than 700 years before Jesus' birth. Now, three and a half years later, it was Jesus' death. Isaiah 53, 4 to 8, King James translation says, surely he was born for our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. The Day commentary talks about the words grief and griefs in Isaiah 53, 3 and 4 should have been translated sickness, as the Hebrew word is translated elsewhere and recognized by many versions. Christ was not only acquainted with diseases and sicknesses, in the sense of being able to discern and diagnose them, comma, and being familiar with them in others, comma, but he actually bore them in his own body while hanging on the cross and becoming a substitute for others. Verse 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was crushed, bruised for our guilt and iniquities, the Amplified translation says. And the word heal here means to mend, cure, make whole, or cause to heal. Verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Iniquity, perversity, i.e. moral evil, fault, mischief, according to Strong's. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. That's one reason right there why none of us could have went through what he did, because he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. We wouldn't have took all of that. We wouldn't have been silent. Verse 8, and he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. God's word is true, and we can depend on it for our life in him. Let me say that again. God's word is true, and we can depend on it for our life in him. John 14, verses 6 to 8, New Living Translation says, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Who was him? He was talking to Peter. I'm sorry. He was talking to Philip. Let me slow down. He was talking to Philip. And do you know Philip had the nerve to ask Jesus to show him or them the Father and they would be satisfied? Oh, hallelujah. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, Jesus told him. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? At least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. John 14:12 NIV says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. What did Jesus do? He loved on people. He cared and had compassion for people. He healed people. He even brought people back from the dead. We might not be able to bring them back from physical death, but we sure enough can help bring them back from spiritual death. Jesus had tried to prepare the disciples for his horrific death that he would suffer. And he told them more than once, I have more to tell you. Can't bear it. Like many of us today, they were looking for Jesus to do it their way versus God's plan, versus God's will. Remember, he talked to them before he left this earth. He breathed on them and told them to receive the Holy Spirit. And they still was thinking he had came here to save them from the Roman government. What has God told us to do? And we're looking for him to do it our way, the way we want it, and how we want it, when we want it, and we don't want it no other way. But let me not go there. Mark 9:31-33, King James says, but he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered unto the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. Didn't it happen? Yes, it did. 32. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. Pastor O, so where and what should we be doing as a church today, April 20th, 2024? What should we be doing? Pastor, I know from the things you said, after messages, the messages regarding evangelism, being a witness and talking about lost souls, all of that's important to you. You even prayed it in your prayer this morning. It's important to you. Why isn't it important to us? Jesus said we would do greater things. How much scripture have we applied to our lives? And how much of that scripture have we taken and been as a Christian's witness to others? There's a lot of confusion out here today about a Christian's faith. How much faith do you have? Oh, you have little faith. How strong is your faith? And, or if even knows this with the naming and claiming. But Jesus said if we had the faith of a mustard seed, we would do greater things than he was able to do while he was here on earth. But I'm going to ask a question. Is faith possible without obedience to God's word and walking in his will? Let me ask that again. Is faith possible without being obedient to God's word and walking in his will? We know the Bible says faith without works is dead. And we don't work for salvation, but we work because of our faith and belief in what Jesus did for each one of us. I would submit faith without obedience is futile. And Jesus was our greatest example of faith. He was our greatest example of prayer. He was our greatest example of obedience and walking out his purpose. He came here to die for our sins. He came here to die for our sins, that we might be brought back into fellowship with God the Father. And what did God have to say for him before he even went to the cross? When he was baptized, God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." On the Mount of Transfiguration says, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Pastor, what would God say about us today? I can hear him say, "These are my sons and daughters by faith in my Son, Jesus Christ." And I can hear him say next, "I am not pleased. I commanded them to love one another. How are we doing with that? I commanded them, and then Jesus prayed for their unity. How are we doing with that? I commanded them to go and make disciples. How are we doing with that?" Ooh, Lord, I can hear God saying, "They're having church on Sunday, some on Saturday, but what about the other 6 days of the week? They have separated themselves by denomination, race, and too many opinions regarding my word. I am not pleased. They shout, dance, some praise and worship, but where is the fruit?" Lord have mercy. Where is the fruit? John 10:10, New Living Translation says, "The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. And he has done that in many little ways in the church. But my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." And sometimes we look at, I know King James says, abundant life. But sometimes we look at that abundance or a rich and satisfying life as only in monetary form, only in material things. But God gives us life in so many ways, and we should praise and glorify his name for it. I can hear God saying, "Where is the love, the joy, the peace, and the unity that I have promised you in my word?" I can hear Jesus saying, "Father, I died for them. I prayed for them. Father, give them more time." John 16:10, verses 10 and 11 says, "Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. 11, judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged." Jesus died, but Jesus is coming back. And in this verse, he says, "Judgment will come because the rulers of this world," the ruler of this world, who is Jesus, not only the ruler, the creator of this world, "has been judged unrighteously by an unrighteous people." Lord have mercy. We are counted righteous because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and by confessing our faith in that. God has given us the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us to all truth. John 16:8, New Living Translation says, "And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin, and of God's righteousness, and of the coming judgment." My brothers and sisters in Christ, this is serious. And it's more than having church on Sunday. More than having Sunday school, Bible classes, conferences, and seminars. It's about reaching a sin-sick world, telling them about the love of God, telling them about his grace and mercy, telling them about salvation only comes in and through Jesus Christ, and telling them about power of the Holy Spirit to help us to live holy lives. John 16:31-33, New Living Translation. Jesus asked, do you finally believe? 32, but the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now when you will be scattered. Each one is going his own way, leaving me alone. Yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. And I don't care what you're going through today, what trials and tribulations have come your way. We can hold on to what Jesus said about his Father being with him, because he's always with us. He promised never to leave us nor forsake us. 33, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. I can hear God saying, the early church turned this world upside down, winning souls for me. The early church turned this world upside down, winning souls for me. To me, God, a day is like 1,000 years. I've given them plenty of time. Evil is at an all-time high. They love sin more than they love me. Enough is enough. And Jesus, why are you still interceding for them? It's time to end this evil. It's time to end this sin. They don't get it, and they don't care. Not only is he talking about I'm saying they don't get it and they don't care, as the world doesn't care, but some of us as Christians don't get it and don't care about taking the word to the sin-sick, lost world. I can hear Jesus saying, Father, I suffered and died for them. There are still more souls to be saved. In chapter 17 of John, in part, verse 1 says, glorify your son so he can give glory back to you. Jesus went from a brutal suffering, being beaten, spit on, verbally abused, crowned up, being mocked. But he went from that to he went from that to glorifying God the Father. Verse 4 says, I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Verse 6, I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. 17, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. And the Holy Spirit is here today to lead and guide us unto all truth. 18, just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. That's part of the problem. He has sent us into the world, but often we fail to go into the world. Time to come outside of the four walls of the church building and go into the world wherever we may be, and glorify God. Yes, Lord. Have we completed the work God has given us to do? Have we completed the work that God has given us to do? Jesus was able to say, I have completed the work you gave me to do. Can we say that? Verse 20, I am praying not only for these disciples, but for all who will ever believe in me through their message. God's not coming back here to tell a sin-sick, dying world about him. He's not coming back here to do what he's already commanded for us to do. I am praying not only for these disciples when he was crucified, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. Pray that they will be one, verse 21, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. And may they be in us. The world will believe you sent me. Father God, forgive us for not going into the world that you've already sent us to in your word and telling them about a loving God, telling them about your plan of salvation, telling them about your love, your grace, your mercy, telling them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Telling them that none of us, not one of us, is perfect. But you have told us in your word, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's time that we tell this dying world, this sin-sick world, about Jesus and the plan of salvation, about Jesus, his love, grace, and mercy, about being counted righteous and just because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. It's past time for us to tell the world about the love of God. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Unselfishly died on Calvary. Oh, how you gave your life for me. Bruised, scorned, crowned your head with thorns. No greater love performed for me.
Nailed in your hands, nailed in your feet, pierced in your side. Could barely breathe. Could have came down, yet you remain standing in awe of the price you paid. I never knew of a love so true.
You gave your life and still I heard you. Lost so many times to supply you again.
But I repent, forgive me for my sin.
You paid it all.
Money, I can't.
and paid in exchange for the blood you shed for my sins. I give up everything that's not pleasing in your sight, so I can have it.
Man, that song right there, that's my jam right there. I can listen to that on repeat, okay, because, you know, when we get in these daily lives, we forget what Jesus has done for us. I know I have, you know, I do it on a regular basis. You get so engrossed in, you know, day-to-day, whatever life is doing, and you forget that Jesus is not still hanging on that cross. He ain't still dead. He got up. And he overcame everything. And because he did, we're overcomers too by the blood. That song is so amazing. And it reminds us that Jesus paid it all for us. On that cross, he bled and died because I was lost, because we were all lost. And so here we are. Here we should be surrendering everything because of what he did for us. That's, oh my gosh, that song is amazing. And then we want to couple it with the word that we got. We had Elder Joseph Stevens, my cardinal. We had him on the block list because he played us last month. So we was like, wait a minute. But he came back today. Look, y'all, he brought the smoke. I don't know if the key, is that like still the proper terminology? I don't know. I might be a couple generations past that. But the kids used to say, bringing the smoke. He brought the smoke or something. Either way it goes, the word was fire. Today, and then he wasn't on the blacklist. We just saying that to be silly, but we're glad he missed last month, because what he brought this month, I mean, I'm not gonna touch anything he said. I'm gonna leave it right where he dropped his mic this morning when he was done preaching. We gonna leave that word right next to that microphone that he dropped, because we got black coffee today, flat out. Our responsibility is to be witnesses. We're supposed to be telling this world, this sick, fallen, evil, sad, tragic world that we're in, about Jesus. That's our job. That's our mission. We get caught up in all of the things we're supposed to be doing. What's my purpose? Why am I here? What am I do it too. So when I'm speaking, I'm not pointing no fingers at nobody else because I do it too. Jesus, why am I here? What am I here to do? What am I here for? It's got to be more than getting up working 8 to 5 every day. It's got to be more than these kids or this, you know, bills. It's got to be more than that. But that's why we have to keep Jesus in his proper place. Pastor Jonathan always says, keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is Jesus. The big picture is Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be focusing on. We're supposed to be doing what he told us to do. We're supposed to be witnessing to others and telling people about him. Pastor O always gets me when he says, how many people have you told about Jesus this week? And that's a question that only you can answer. God knows if you're lying or not. You ain't got to give a number or whatever because most people don't keep track of it. Ooh, check, I told somebody about Jesus. Check. No, that's an eternal checklist that's being kept. But it is a question that we need to ask ourselves in the course of a day, in the course of a week. How many people are we telling about God? I mean, about Jesus. Because Jesus, that's the hook right there. You can talk about God all day long, but everybody might not have the same God. Some people's God is their groceries, their money, their job, their kids, their husbands, wives, whatever. So Jesus is that hook right there. He is the common denominator. If we could talk about Jesus, chances are we talking about the same God. So we have to be clear about that. But Pastor O always asks, how many people did you talk to how many people did you tell about Jesus this week? So we really need to be remembering what we're here for and what we're supposed to be doing and what our responsibilities are. Yes, God is not asking you to 24/7, you know, be at his feet. He know you people got to work and got kids and got families. He's blessed us to have all of those things. Like Pastor O, he altar called this morning, which was a low-key sermon. Amen. You know, all of the things that we get that we blessed with anyway that we take for granted. Amen. We have a responsibility to witness to those who are unsaved because at the end of the day, that's really all it's about, spreading his word to the othermost parts of the earth. Amen. Because when we're done, when this life is over with and it's getting over with, okay, we all going to have a day. And when we get up there, we want a check. We want a fat check. Okay. So we need to get on the job, not our paycheck job, but our eternal job, which is to get people saved and tell people about Jesus. Amen? Amen. I said I wasn't going to say nothing, but apparently I can't do that. So, good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday. It is the third Saturday in the month of April. Time is moving on, but we are so grateful because God is still good. Amen? So just by way of some announcements, Sunday, you all know that we have our Sunday school that begins at 9 a.m. with our teacher, Pastor Janet Tate. And then we also have our Sunday morning worship service, which begins at 10 a.m. The praise team will lead us in our worship. And again, we continue to invite everyone out to join us in celebrating our 21st church anniversary. Amen. We are so, so grateful and so thankful to the Lord for all that he has done for us over the last 21 years. Like I said, I've been at Run for Christ Ministries coming up on 15 years, but feels like I've been there from the beginning. Amen. And so it's been a wonderful place. Wonderful transformation has happened in my life and in my family's life. And it's just a wonderful place to be. And so I'm just very grateful on a personal level to have Run for Christ Ministries as my, not just my church family, but my family and my eternal family, because we all going to heaven and we're going to be cutting up in heaven just like we cut up on Sunday service. Amen. On Saturday worship, where we're at Bible classes together. We're just one big family. So, again, we're inviting everyone out to join with us. You know, we're still celebrating, and we're going to celebrate all month long our 21st church anniversary. So tomorrow, Assistant Pastor Janice Tate is going to be bringing the word to us. So please, please come on out and worship with us. Amen. We are located at 27085 West Otter Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. We are Come As You Are. Amen. That's all you need to be is who you already are. God already knows who you are. He knows how jacked up you are. He ain't got to prove that to nobody. We all in the same place. trying to get the same thing. Okay, Deaconess Rebecca, it's very clear when she talks about that. And she mentions how, you know, churches is a place where we come to get it together. Amen. We come to worship with one another and bring all of our stuff to the table, drop it off, and we come to get the word. Amen. So, again, come on out, worship with us, 27085 West Outer Drive, Ecorse, Michigan. Again, our Sunday school starts at 9 a.m., and our worship service begins at 10 a.m. Amen. So, on Mondays, our Bible class is going on, our new Bible class that is being taught by Pastor O. This is week 4 of the Bible, God's Word to Us, again, taught by Pastor O. It happens on Blog Talk Radio at 6 p.m. The lesson for this week is the first English translation of the Bible. It is a so. If we're going into week 4, and we only got one more week left, all right? So the questions are online, and they're on the back table on Sundays if you come in person. And then we also want to remind you, too, that Minister Lachelle Anderson has her Blog Talk Radio show entitled Street Love, and that's on Blog Talk Radio, and that happens at 6:30 p.m. So if you want to tune into that, please just go to our church website, rsbm.org, and click on the Christian Resources for more information. Also, with Pastor O's Bible class, you do need a book, okay? So, I mean, it's never too late because everything is recorded, archived, and free. So you can always get a book. You'll just have to go to our church website, rfcm.org, and do what you got to do to get a book, okay? Because our questions, they get posted, and they stay on the website. All right, so Tuesdays, 4 p.m., Minister Richard Overall is teaching on Blog Talk Radio with his series that he's been in for a really long time, but it doesn't matter, Training Day, amen, every Tuesday, 4 p.m. Wednesdays at 6 p.m., we have our Bible class on Blog Talk Radio. This week, our teacher is Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and the title of the lesson is Jesus' Authority Over Demons. All right, so you need a book for this class as well. If you don't have one, it's totally fine. You can get one. Just go to our church website, rfcm.org, to place your order so you can get your book. Friday at 7 p.m., or every Friday at 7 p.m., we have Bring Back the Family with the host, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, and that's also on Blog Talk Radio, so make sure to tune in for that. And then we get back to Saturdays. Amen. We have our Saturday worship service here at 10 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio. If you care about who the preacher of the day is, you can check the website. But it doesn't matter. Who cares who's preaching? You just need to have your face in the place, okay? Or your ears in the place or whatever. You just need to tune in. It don't matter who's preaching. You're going to get word anyway, okay? So just make sure to tune in because, again, it's not just on Sundays we get the word. It's not just on Saturdays or whatever day you choose to worship. This is like a 24/7, 365 thing that needs to kind of be happening, okay? So we got most of your days of the week on lock right here on Blog Talk Radio, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. Amen. And then on Sundays, we have our in-person services, but those also get uploaded to the church website. So even if you're not able to come out to Sunday service, you can still partake in the service as if you were there because it gets uploaded to our church website, and you can hear, you know, what the service was. So that's awesome. So that's just about 7 days a week. It's just Jesus is on, right from Run for Christ Ministries and our Blog Talk Radio channel. Amen? All right, so again, remember that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, and free. Just visit our church website, rfcm.org. Our website has great stuff on it, all right? You got jobs, books, resources, classes, services, everything, okay? And it's all for free. Our website has truly, truly, truly evolved, too, and it's all for free. We all like free stuff, okay? You ain't got to put your credit card number in. You don't have to have a trial subscription. Nothing's going to charge a credit card after 7 days. None of that. It's all free. So like I always say, use it for yourself and as you need it, but make sure that you're sharing it with others because you may assume that somebody doesn't need something, but God knows what they need, all right? So you just do your due diligence in sharing the website with someone and let God do everything else, amen? So as far as tithes and offerings go, if you want to give your offering online, go to our church website, rfcm.org, and just click the tithes and offerings tab. If you would like to give a love offering for Elder Joseph Stevens, who brought the word today, y'all got black, hot, steaming coffee today, all right? Please feel free to go to the church website. And then just make sure to specify that your love offering is for Elder Joseph Stevens, and we will see to it that he receives it. Amen. So thank you And God bless you in advance for sharing with us and with those we help, not just on Saturdays, not just when y'all hear something on Blog Talk Radio, but all year long. Amen. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7 speaks of a new heaven and a new earth. And I don't know about you, but we need everything to be made new again, okay? Just like Elder Joseph Stevens said, Jesus is not going to come down here again to tell you about him. He's already done that. So you just need to have faith and trust what the word says and use that until Jesus comes back. Because when he comes back again, like, it's a wrap, okay? He's not coming back down here to have no whole other ministry going on and to convince you that you need to be on, you know, his side of right. No, when he comes back, it's a wrap. There are no do-overs, okay? So a new heaven and a new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Amen. Talk about something to look forward to. Amen. Talk about looking forward to the day where the Lord comes back and we get to be with him for eternity in a completely and totally perfect space. Just imagine that. Amen. So when it comes to prayers, you know, we ask that you continuously pray for everyone, everywhere, all of the time. Please continue to pray for Keila Freeman, who did have another surgery, but as far as I know, she is home and recuperating. Please continue to pray for our favorite president at Runs for Christ Ministries. Amen. Sharon Abraham. Pray for our Deacon Charles Mackey, as well as his mom. He is caretaking for her, and that is never an easy job. So please make sure to keep them lifted up in prayer. Please pray for all of our lovely, wonderful, sweet, beloved mothers that Run for Christ Ministries. Amen. Mother Marilyn, Mother Persia, Mother Cheryl, and Mother Irma. Amen. Continue to pray for Deaconess Naomi Carter, Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks, Nico Gaston, Darius Freeman, all of our pastors. Y'all know we keep our pastors that Run for Christ lifted up straight to the Lord, because they are our shepherds, and we need them to have as little on them as possible, because they have plenty on their plate leading a flock, okay? So we keep our pastors lifted up in prayer to the Lord, amen? But you should be doing the same thing for your pastors, amen? Continue to pray for all of our college students. You know, they got a lot going on, transitioning from young peoplehood to adulthood, and they're faced with so many things on a regular basis, and we want to make sure that we are instilling in our children the foundational word of Christ, which is what they build everything else on, is the foundation of the word of God. Amen. So please continue to pray for our college students, parents, children of all ages everywhere. Please continue to pray for our government leaders, Lord have mercy, and those who have the rule over us. Again, this is an election year, if I'm not mistaken, and oh my goodness, it is a mess. I'm not a political person. I'm not into politics, but I do know that the little bit I see, and 2 + 2 = 4 to me, it's a hot mess. Okay, so please continue to pray for all of your government leaders, whether they're your mayor, your city council, or whatever, in your communities, all the way up to Washington. Amen. The Bible tells us that we are responsible for praying for those who have the rule over us. Amen. Please continue to pray for those who are sick and shut in, whether they are at home or in the hospital, hospice, nursing home, it doesn't matter. Please continue again to pray for everyone. Please pray for all those who are unsaved. They may come to know the love of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice made for them to have eternal life with him. You know, we'll honestly never fully understand, I don't believe anyway, this side of heaven, exactly what Jesus did for us. We get it. We celebrate it. We acknowledge it. But I don't think our minds are capable of fully 100%. We might be 99.999%. We're not fully capable of really understanding what Jesus has done for us. You know, we take it for granted sometimes. We get mad or angry or things are not going right for us, and so we question it. But Jesus did what he did because he loves us. He still loves us. He died for us. He know we still jacked, and yet he still loves us. He chose us. Amen. And so we just want to continue to pray that those in the body of Christ be witnesses for the Lord in the way that we live, in the way that we show love to one another. If we would just show love to one another, this world will be so much better. It won't be perfect because it won't ever have the ability to be. But so many things are happening and things are just going crazy because nobody loves anybody. Nobody loves anybody. Jesus gave command. But the biggest thing is love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love one another. And because we don't love one another is why this world is one of the reasons, I should say, why this world is hell in a handbasket. Okay? We have got to show love to one another. It's hard to love people that we feel are unlovable. But we were unlovable, and look what Jesus did for us. So we don't get to determine who's worthy and who's not, because none of us are. Pastor O has reminded us on many occasions, if you take Jesus out of the equation, we are going to the same place, whether you're in the front of the line or the back of the line. It don't matter. Whether you pushing your way into hell or trying not to go in, if Jesus wasn't in the mix, we are going to the same place. It makes no difference. So we don't get to determine who's good enough and who's not. None of us are worthy. But because of what Jesus did, because he loved us so much, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that for those who believe in him will never perish but have everlasting life. Okay? So we need to love one another. Jesus came down here, and yeah, he did what he did, but he showed love to everybody. Ultimate show of love is what he did on the cross. Okay? So you just remember that you may be the only Jesus that people see. So you need to make sure that you represent Jesus accordingly. You need to mirror him accordingly. You need to reflect him off of yourself onto others the way that he did it for us. Amen? We also want to ask that you please continue to pray for all those who are bereaved and mourning and grieving the loss of their, you know, friends, family, loved ones. We do ask that you continue to pray for Deaconess Lisa and Deaconess Anita and the loss of their aunt. And also please continue to pray for Pastor Jonathan's son, John, and the loss of his grandfather. Amen. So happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world. Amen. If you celebrated your birthday this past week or if you celebrated any time in the month that has already gone by. Amen. So a very happy and blessed birthday goes out to Nedra, who celebrated her birthday on the 12th of this month. And baby Javon, amen, it's one of Kat's kids. He's going to be 3 years old, and he's going to be celebrating his birthday on the 25th of this month. So happy, happy birthday to Nedra and Javon. Amen. And last but not least is your devotional for today, and it's entitled The Choice to Rejoice. Amen. The Choice to Rejoice. This is by Pastor Jeff Shreve. Y'all already know what's up with his devotionals. I get them. I love them, and that's why I share them with you. So it reads as follows. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. At Psalm 118, verse 24. Perhaps you heard the story of Bob, who died and went to heaven. As St. Peter was showing him around, Bob noticed a strange item on the streets of glory. He saw a complaint box. Peter, Bob exclaimed, why would there be a complaint box in heaven? Peter replied, well, heaven is a place of perfect happiness, and some people just cannot be happy unless they can complain. Have you ever met somebody who is a chronic complainer? I think some that could be all of us at some point in time in this life, okay? Sadly, churches seem to have them in spades. These are the folks that are never happy. The music is too loud. The temperature is too uncomfortable. The sermon is too shallow or too deep or too long or too short. Nothing ever seems quite right. Many years ago, I greeted a church member and said enthusiastically, "Good morning." He answered sourly, "Yeah, what's so good about it?" Yikes. Whatever he had, I certainly did not want to catch. So making the right choice, regardless of the situation you may be facing today, one thing is for sure. God made this day, and he wants us to rejoice in it. In Psalm 118, verse 24, definite choice was made to rejoice. The writer says, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoicing is an act of the will. It is not based on feelings or favorable situations. The Lord is king of this day, and that is reason enough to celebrate. You and I can choose to rejoice and be glad, or we can choose to grumble, gripe, and complain. Choosing the latter course of action does not change our circumstances. It just sours our attitude and our outlook. Choosing to rejoice, however, pleases God and lets your light for the Lord shine among men. What are you facing today? An unsatisfying career? Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, angels, calling on everybody. That one was personal to me. Unemployment, marital conflict, family turmoil, financial problems, failing health, loneliness, depression. Okay, y'all, we know the list goes on and on. Whatever it may be, God is greater than your problems. God is greater than your problems. He has a miracle with your name on it. So stop complaining and start rejoicing. You and I serve a risen Savior who loves us, died, and rose again for us and promises to work all things together for our good. Take time right now to praise him for this day and the blessings and challenges that are found in it. Remember, the greater the difficulty, the greater the opportunity for him to work powerfully in your life. When a complaint comes to your lips, replace it with praise. You will be amazed at the difference it will make in your life. Ooh-wee, that was good, y'all. Amen. Amen. Those are your announcements.
Amen and amen. Oh, and amen. Amen and amen.
Amen.
And amen. Thank you, Crystal. I'm telling you, this
You're
was
welcome.
An awesome day. You know, what really gets me is how it all comes together and we all seem to be on the same page. And Elder Stevens just really impressed me. You know what I mean? It's because we don't talk, even though, you know, I think he tried to call me, but I was in prayer mode. And hearing what I was supposed to pray about. But anyway, he always managed to get on the right page. Amen. You
always.
Know what I'm saying? And
always.
That does my heart.
Always.
And that lets me know the Holy Spirit is in this. Because he is the only one who can orchestrate all these people who are, just like the people who wrote the Bible. Ain't that something they all wrote from the beginning to the end? And they all wrote at their part in their dispensation in time. But they were all on the same page talking about the same Jesus. Amen.
Always.
I love how he went back and he quoted. Always. I love how he went back and quoted from Isaiah and gave that 700 years before. Okay, these things were said. And then they come to pass. We call them faith builders, right? And that is what God gives us so that we can believe. I'm preaching. Amen. I ain't even supposed to preach this weekend. Janice preaching. Janice preaching.
Right.
Elder Stevens done preached. Amen. I'm good. I am good. I caught myself. We had a good time last night. Oh, bring back the family. That was cool. It was good. Baby Tay came on. I ain't going to even tell y'all about Baby Tay. You're going to have to go back to Bring Back the Family and listen to it. And check Baby Tay out. Amen. Baby Tay was awesome. Ain't going to be what you think, though. Baby Tay was awesome. Get your kids. Amen. Get them all. Sit them down in front of the phone or your speakers through your computer or whatever and let them listen to Baby Tay. That name
Amen.
Just got me. But he's a young man. I'll give you a hint. He's 26 year old, owns 3 stores, got his own brand. Praise God. You got to check out Baby Tay. Get your kids to listen to Baby Tay. And then they might grow up and get out your basement. Amen.
Hello. And get money the right way.
Get money the right way.
Amen.
And see, he came up hard. He came up hard.
See.
But, you know, public housing clothing. Amen. Check
wow.
it out. Amen. Wow. This boy is
amen.
Something else.
Amen.
Something else. But anyway, check it out. You get a chance. Anyway, thank you, Crystal. Appreciate you.
You're welcome. Absolutely.
Amen. Tell my brother in this deacon ministry, I said, what's up?
I sure will. Amen.
Sheila was showing me some pictures when he was 8. I'm getting all those, and I'm going to threaten him with them like, okay, dude.
Oh, yeah. I got
you
more.
Know,
I got
go ahead and
more.
Chunk that wallet over, or I'm just going to have to put these pictures out there on the net somewhere.
I got plenty more. I got 12 more. Okay.
I'm going to have to put these pictures on the net for you. I only got one of him
I
and Alana
you.
When they was 8. You know, and
oh
as soon as they get rich, I'm like, okay, see this? Hook a brother up, and I won't put these on the net.
Get them. Look, I'm going to blow them all up when they decide they want to get married. It's going to be a slideshow or just a whole bunch of embarrassing pictures. I got it set up. I'm ready.
went from here to here.
Yeah, amen. Mm-hmm. We're going to get them.
Well, this announcer is in my ear. She's something else. But anyway, I'm telling you, I got people timing me everywhere.
Praise God.
Okay, Crystal, love you. Have a blessed day.
All right, love you too. You too.
Okay. As always, I want to give thanks to God for each and every one of you who tune in all the time. And we pray you tell somebody else this is happening. Remember, just visit, like Crystal said, rfcm.org. Everything's recorded and archived. And it's all free. And you can go there 24/7, 365. And bless yourself on purpose. I want to thank Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, as always, the presiding person. I want to thank Deaconess Loretta Welch for being faithful. Amen. You can call her, boom, and she in. I thank God for people like that. You don't have to beg them. You just ask them, and they think it's a privilege. Oh, what a privilege it is. Amen. And, of course, thank God for the preacher, Elder Joseph Stevens. Amen. God requires our faith and obedience. And y'all remember when he asked this question. I ain't going to preach it again, but he said, can you have faith without obedience? James want to talk to you. You need to go read the book of James because he got a thing in chapter 2. James say, come over to chapter 2. We need to talk. You say you can have faith without obedience? We need to talk. Amen. So I thank God for him and allowing the Lord to use him to feed Runner for Christ Ministries with good food from heaven. Amen. So share that with everybody that you know. Amen. And just thank God for all of Runner for Christ. 21 years, we made this happen together. Jesus worked through all of us, filled us with the Holy Spirit, got the work done, making disciples. Amen. Amen. So God bless you. God keep you. Have yourselves a wonderful day. The Lord made it. He said, this is the day I made. Rejoice and be glad in it. So if you're doing anything else in it, you're sinning. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. We will see you when we see you. Let us get this benediction. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all until we all meet again. And the whole church said, amen. Now go out and win.
Good energy fills me. I feel the love. I know it's not me. It's from above. I'm overflowing. I feel the good. It's something on me strongly. If you feel me, everybody throw your hands up and say, I feel the grace. I don't deserve it. just as pace. I'm aerial surfing, gone with the wind. His hand is on me, if you agree. Can't explain it simply. Go ahead and throw your hands up. I woke up this morning to get it in. No, I'm not playing. This is my trend. No, I'm not perfect. I wanna get it right. So I encourage my own self. Turn left, focus on my own shelf. Reach for the top, don't stop. Hands.
Yeah.
I feel good, I'm so grateful. I feel good, I'm so thankful. I feel good,